Revelation chapter 10. God's word promises us that if we read the revelation, if we listen to the revelation, or we keep the revelation, he says, I promise you a blessing. So let's stand up and get a blessing. Amen. If you can, possibly, of course. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. And he had in his hands a little book, open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and in the are the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from the seven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is opened in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. May God have the blessing of the word of God, as he always does. Let's pray. Father, I beg you tonight that you help us. A lot of things in here that seems like we don't understand. But we do know that you know. And you are the great writer of this book. Holy Spirit is a great one that teaches us. He's the one that gave it to the prophets to write it. Lord God, would you help us tonight? You promise us as Christians that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need. You promise in the Word of God that we can come and we can ask wisdom, and you won't abrade us. So we ask you for that. Lord, help us tonight as we look into this portion of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, the end of time and the two witnesses, Revelation chapter 1, if you're taking notes, chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. This chapter introduces to the middle period of the tribulation period. There is a 7 years tribulation period. Right now we're in what we call the church age. We're listening for the trump of God to sound, and the dead in Christ arise, and those that remain shall be caught up and will ever be with the Lord, those that are saved. We are approaching the beginning of what we call the tribulation period. That's when all the Christians are gone, and the Christian influence. We still have influence. Our country is still seeing that there are some godly influence in our country, and we're still battling. This morning I was reading in how that David had, Saul had became the new king. And, boy, some of the people didn't want him to be the king. And they're just pitching a fuss about it. And finally, Saul went out and had a great victory over the Philistines. And after they did that, the whole country, for the most, came together. But there's a few people that didn't. And so the whole country said, let's go over and just, let's just take care of those people. They will not bow down to our king. And kind of interesting what's going on in our world today. It's nothing new, amen? It's just nothing new. I read that, I laughed at myself. I said, boy, if that isn't America today, I don't know what is, amen? So anyway, the tribulation period is 7 years. There's going to be 3.5 years of tribulation. And then, which is chapter 10, this is the parenthesis of it, it's saying right now, this is beginning the start. The second period of tribulation. This is when the beast he has came into a power, and after 3.5 years he is going to have power of the whole world. We're looking today. All of us are looking for someone to take care of the finances of our country, take care of the military of our country. Don't say you're not. All of us want that. We want our country to be safe. Amen. And so we want someone to come in and take over and take care of stuff, so we can just go about our business, do our own thing. You know, it used to be that's what we used to do. We just go home and bale hay and feed the cows, feed the pigs, feed the chicken, gather the eggs, amen, butcher, and mama would stay in the house, and she'd bake the bread and make the preserves and take care of the kids and make sure daddy's fed and all that else is fed and clothed, that pretty much. But today, we've come into a new facet in the life of this world, and the fact that it takes both family members to be working and kids to be working, and it's the craziest thing you ever did see. Of course, you don't have to, but there's certain times you do have to, and sometimes you just got to back off and just do it. I remember when I was putting through kids, we had came here to this church and pretty much financed a lot of it, our own self personally. And I put my wife to work. That's the first time she ever worked in all her, so that we could have our kids in Christian school. It costs a lot of money to have kids in Christian school. And so our life changes. There's a lot of crazy things going on in this world. So anyway, so we are in the middle of the tribulation period. And I want you to, go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In other words, Daniel was saying there's a day coming when Antichrist is going to take over. And there's going to be 3.5 years that he's going to give them peace. He's going to protect them. He is going to keep the Jewish people from getting blown up and making sure that they still have their property that they can live in. But at the beginning of the second half of that tribulation period, he's going to show his satanic fury, and he will break the covenant with Israel, and he's going to reveal himself. And folks, you know what it is. It's all about him. And when you read this in Daniel, he's talking about the oblations and the overspreading of the abomination. What happens is that they are going to worship on this altar, and they're going to use swine or pigs. And that is going to just make them just very upset with what's going on. And, of course, the Jews will not worship there anymore because he's desolated their altar. Kind of interesting things that are going on. And so these are the things that are going to happen. All of a sudden, the whole world is going to change. and he is going to be in complete control. He has got everybody with the mark of the beast on their forehead or on their hand. And I just got a deal yesterday. It said, told the elderly folks, get rid of your cash. Get rid of your cash. That's what it says. Get rid of your cash. Cash is not going to be good anymore. Your checks are not going to be good anymore. The cash is not going to be. The plastic is what's going to be good. It's coming. It really is. And Brother Jason and I were talking about it. And I said, Brother Jason, I says, and there's another pastor there. I said, to me, there's no. I'm not afraid of this. Why should I be afraid of this? We know it's going to come. Anything the Bible talks about, there's always a shadow of things coming. It's upon us. You ought to be rejoicing, praise the Lord, that Jesus is coming back. Amen. And you say, but oh, I'm afraid of what? Going to heaven? You're afraid of what? Losing your new snowmobile or your four-wheeler, your motorcycle, your new car, your new house, your new truck. You're afraid of that? Or you want to be careful. The Bible said that the rapture, that's literally the pulling away. Literally has to pull us out of here. That's pretty sad, isn't it? We ought to be so excited. Every time we hear a horn honk, we ought to be jumping. Amen. We ought to be excited about the Lord's coming back. He's coming back soon. But he said, preacher, I remember my wife, bless her heart, when we were first married, she started telling me a few things. And she said, honey, she said, I was preaching on the second coming. She says, I'm really for that. But she says, I want to see our first baby before the Lord comes. I want to see. And then went along, she said, well, see your next baby. And then, wouldn't you know, she said, you know what I'm looking for? I hope the Lord doesn't come back so I can see my grandkids. You know, now she's looking for great grandkids. But anyway, that could be pretty soon, assume. But anyway, no, I don't know. I don't know that. I shouldn't say that, but I've got kids old enough to participate, amen. But anyway, but we as Christians should be so excited about serving God and giving ourselves to His direction and what He wants for us to do. During this time, also the two witnesses, and for the most part, most people believe that there's only two people that did not die, that jettisoned out of this world, and they are. One walked with God, Enoch, and the other rode in the fiery chariot, Elijah. And those are the only two that we know that got out of here, that got flung off the orbit into heaven, amen. And so I personally think, and that's supposition, I suppose, that it's Enoch. Enoch was a preacher of God. Read back in Jude. He was a great preacher. He preached the Word of God. And Elijah, we know him. He's a great preacher. So anyway, these two prophets, ministers, they're going to minister the first 3.5 years, and they'll be protected. And the Jewish remnant is protected by God during the 3.5 last years. There's 144,000 of them, 12,000 from each tribe. The beasts now will have worldwide authority in his last 3.5 years. He has got it. Everybody. I mean, I don't know if he's the head of the, what do we call that, the League of Nations or the, what do we call that? United Nations. I don't know if he's running that or what. I don't know. I heard somebody said that a former president wants to be that. But anyway, he could probably be that. But anyway, the beast was worldwide authority. And last 3.5 years, look here, it says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, you want to look at that. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And then we get to Satan is cast down the second half of the tribulation period. Satan is cast to the earth. He's no more roaming around up in heaven. He's out of there. That's interesting, isn't it? And all for persecution begins with believer. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea,
For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath, what? But a short time. He knows. He knows, he knows, he knows. Some people said, preacher, how do you know he's up in heaven? Well, you remember how Job, if you're reading Job, how that he came before God. And God said, have you noticed my servant Job? Oh, yeah. But he said, if you wouldn't be so kind to him, he'd curse you. And, of course, you remember the story there. Then he came again. Jerusalem is now, it's the second half, second half of the tribulation, 3.5 years. Jerusalem is going to be trodden down with the Gentiles. Who do you think they may be? Who wants Israel so bad? Well, yeah, Russia does. They're going to get their dirty nose in there. Huh? Palestinians. That's right. The Muslims. They want it bad. They want it real bad. Real bad. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. But the court which is without the temple leave out. And measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So, in other words, you see that they've taken over. We have here a prince. This is between the 6th and 7th trumpet, chapter 10, verse 1 through 11, chapter 11, verse 14. 7th trumpet will introduce the 7 vials of the wrath of God, and the last 3.5 year tribulation, this is when the wrath of God gets underway. Remember that we are still in the 6th trumpet awaiting the blowing of the 7th trumpet. And we begin this chapter, an angel comes down from heaven with a proclamation. Verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like as the sun, and his feet like a pillar of fire. Some say this angel is Jesus. And they have some pretty good arguments to it. Others say it's just another angel. I believe that it's certainly a special angel. Notice the following things about Jesus. He's clothed in cloud, the Bible says. He comes in the clouds. And a rainbow, Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. Rainbows are about the throne. And his face was the sun. Revelation chapter 4, verse 3 speaks of him as a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. This could easily be Jesus for the sake of the Old Testament angel, but most commentators believe it's not. For he promised that he would not touch down on earth until he set up his kingdom in the millennium. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, and his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst. Now listen to this. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And the half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north and the half towards the south. So this is the end of the tribulation period. And Christ is going to come. What's he going to do? He's going to take possession. You know, I was studying this and just kind of go over it. I don't know how many times I went over it today. But isn't that amazing, the Mount of Olives? Do you remember anything about the Mount of Olives? I know when my wife and I were there in 1995, we climbed up there in the Mount of Olives. It's a pretty good hike, and you can look down. You can see the city. You can see the big golden dome, and there's olive trees. One olive tree is probably 3 times the size of this pulpit round. And Marcia said to me, and I never even thought about it. She said, "Honey, why don't you just kneel there and just pray for a little bit." And she said, "I wonder if that's not where Jesus prayed. We just don't know that, do we? Amen. But pretty close, I'll tell you that much. But when you stand up there, you can look over the whole city. Panoramic view. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Some people say that's why Jesus went up there, because he could see it all. And this is where he is going to stand someday, Zechariah tells us, and there's going to be a great earthquake, and there's going to be a divide. Now, the people that know, when the earthquake is going to happen, what do they call those people? Huh? Yeah. They say that there's a fault. There's already a fault right there. There's no reason why it wouldn't not. Like we have the San Andrean fault and some of these other places, you know. They said there's a fault right there. They know it is. And it is amazing. This is what I was saying. Isn't it amazing that this is a place where Christ cried over the city? And they would not have him. Someday, let me tell you about in Romans. If you came up and you placed your foot on the soil, you took title deed of that soil. And Jesus is going to come down and he said, hey, it's all mine now. But this is enough. We've tried everything we could. And I'm taking over. I'm taking over. He will finish the judgment and enter into the kingdom age of earth. Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, no doubt, same book mentioned in chapter 5, as a title deed of redeemed possession brought by Jesus on Calvary. It has the deed with him. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. Notice two facts about that act. And this is, as I was talking about, the Roman custom of triumph. Who could be more of a conqueror than Jesus Christ? Amen. I'm here. This is mine. No more. How many ever purchased a piece of property? And you buy a piece of property, and you got that title deed in hand. And this is it. I remember when we were working on Heritage Baptist Church and praying and begging God, and God blessed us with folks who just kept giving and giving and giving. Boy, I remember we finally paid that thing off. I went down to the bank, down to the treasurer, and I had that put in the court record that this is Heritage Baptist Church. And then thank God for Mrs. Hobbs. I told her, I said, you just keep taking money and putting towards it. Remember that last time when we had all the 8 acres finally finished, paid for in the buildings and everything? I think that was about 6 years ago, six years ago. And boy, I remember that was a glorious day to get the title deed for this, and I took all that down, had the lawyers make sure it's okay, and took it down to the county clerk and made sure that it was all signed in and everything, and there was no liens on or no nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord about that. We will win through Jesus, my friend. This also significant possession is taking possession of the purchased property that he bought with a price. And he shall be under his dominion for then 1,000 years. Verse 3, and he cried with a loud voice as the lion roareth, and when he had cried, 7 thundered, uttered their voices, and when the 7 seals and the 7 seals of the 7 trumpets, now the 7 thunders. Verse 4, and when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. This is kind of surprising to me. I know it's what it's about, but it's still surprising to me. And I heard the voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things with the 7 thunders uttered and write them not. John says that when he saw them, he was just a plain old ready writer. Amen. He'd write it down, brother, sister. Suddenly God told John, hey, seal it up. 7 trumpets, 7 thunders. Don't write these 7 thunders. I think it was Warren Wiersbe that said, he said, I think it was so terrible that it could not be written. So terrible it could not be written. And he illustrated, he said, I've heard some soldiers of World War II and World War I and Korea and Vietnam. He said the stories were so terrible. No, they didn't want to talk about it. What a hideous thing is going to happen to people who don't want to hear about Jesus. Amen. Please note that this is the only place of Revelation where he says, I want you to understand this. The rest is revealed to us and we can understand the teaching. Then verses 5 through 7. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to heaven, and he swear by him that liveth forever and ever and created heaven and things therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servant the prophet. Here the angel declares that time should be no longer. The way that the Greek is written, it's there's no more delay. That's it. Time's up. And I don't know about you, but I was watching the basketball game the other night. And, man, it was going crazy. And I was trying to get home from Canada, just get home. See, can you believe Brother Bucher doesn't have TV? I missed the ball games up there. I mean, I don't watch much, but Final Four and the World Series. That's my, okay? That's mine. Okay, I like watching it. Anyway, so I was barreling home from Canada, got home, and sure enough, they're still playing. Amen. Half. And I was watching it. I was hoping for this. Well, anyway, the old Tar Heels, man, they pulled it out. But the last seconds, and all of a sudden, there was time no more. It was over. Done. I suppose you're for the Tar Heels, right, Nancy? So the angel declares that time should be no longer. No more delay. God gave plenty of time, but sooner or later, he cannot delay anymore. Time runs out. What a solemn occasion. The end is coming. The world is about to run its course. And we should not be too much in love with this old world, for they're going to pass away. The foolish to try to whitewash this world and declare and that's headed for destruction. And then we get Revelation chapter 8 through 11. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel that standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the book, little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter. It shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. We are supposed to feed ourselves with the Word of God and to make this prophecy as part of us. We have no right to neglect it. It was both sweet and bitter. Ezekiel talks about that. It is sweet to serve Jesus, yet there are some bitter times with it. Would you agree? Yeah. There's tough times in it. It's wonderful to serve God, but there are just certain times that are pretty bitter. This world is not our friend. He's not a friend of Jesus. As much as we want, as much as we want to get those people to come to Christ, they don't want nothing to do with it. There are two sides of the gospel, the sweet and the bitter. To those who receive Jesus Christ, it is sweet. To those who refuse it, it is bitter perhaps. That's why the Bible calls the Word of God the two-edged sword. For the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any other two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank God for that. So let us thank God that our Lord has the title deed to this earth, and that we will someday rule with Him for 1,000 glorious years. It's coming. It's coming. Oh yeah. It's there. You just watch it. It's the craziest thing you ever seen. And thank God I'm going to heaven. Thank God I have a hope that's for sure. Dr. Sure. Amen. Sure. Amen. Thank God for those who are winning their children to the Lord. Thank God for those that are working hard to serve God in a great way, in a mighty way, and trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. And there are people that just, it bitter them. They don't want nothing to do with it. They hate it. They despise it. They try everything they can to belittle it. But I'll tell you, there's many times I've talked to people, deep down inside of them, they know. They know that it's the truth. They don't want you to think they know, but they know there's a truth. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and you just tell he knew. He knew I was telling the truth. That's the Holy Spirit work within you. Amen. Amen. All right. Any questions?